Good clap.
Amazing clap. Epic clap back.
Incredible clapping.
Nancy Pelosi claps back on Trump by giving him a full military budget. You think you can do this commander-in-chief shit, Trump? Well, how about I give you all the money to do it and see, watch you fall on your face? That's going to be so epic.
Damn. What a fucking bad bitch.
How is it every time Todd's gone, we end up talking about the clap? Somebody says clap and we're just like, we start doing bits now. What's the last thing I heard?
You know, hearing that clap reminds me of other things that involved claps and were funny, because that one was so funny.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Nancy Pelosi.
I just think about Kirby clapping over his head in Smash Bros. When his hands just like fly up and down at lightning speed.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Barely hands at all, really.
I even think about the claps on every beat in the seminal Pete Buttigieg campaign song, High Hopes.
High hopes for a living. Welcome to BB Bledis, everybody.
Welcome.
This is the regular episode. Todd is on a vision quest.
That's right.
Once again.
He loves visions.
Well, he was like, listen, I haven't done a 2020 vision quest, so I have to do that. Remember, all like, Todd, that pun sucks. That's not funny. And he was like, well, the vision quest will be to come up
He's
with
like,
better
look,
puns.
This vision quest is a timeshare, and it's costing me an arm and a leg, so I'm going to be damned if I don't go use it while it's available to me.
Everyone is saying that 2020 is hindsight, and I have to figure out what that means.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, because you usually look in front of you, right? Like, whether you have good or bad vision, if you turn around, that's in front of you now. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I'm making up a straw man of Todd and just making him say dumb shit. It rules.
I'm sure he loves it.
Yeah.
He's a very... He's a good sport about those
Usually,
kinds of things.
He is a good sport.
Okay, so first, let's get into the show. Let's all say our names. So if you notice a voice that isn't here, that's Todd.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Chris talking right now. I'm Chris. This is my accent and voice, and you know whatever.
It's funny because I feel like every time people get a handle on who we are, our voices, especially you guys' voices.
Yeah,
there's a certain Then there's just like a couple hundred more people who have no idea who we are because they just started listening a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to, like, every few weeks, I think, consistently hear, like, here's the episode where this is our voices. Yeah. I'm Bryn.
Okay. And
the girl on the show.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Todd. I'm shit.
No.
I'm John.
He's John. He's the
I
one.
I sound a little different than everybody else because of the mic situation. Is that it? My microphone is in Pittsburgh instead of New York.
You also have a very like specific kind of. I don't know how to describe your voice, but it's like a little bit squeaky.
A little bit, yeah. It gets there. Mm-hmm. It gets, and sometimes it'll just straight up break on me, and then when I'm editing to the episode. When I'm editing the episode later, I'm like, I have to leave that in. And it breaks my heart every single time.
You have to.
I mean, you could just like do a little retake of that, that line.
But then like, the feeling of being that vain is going to be worse than the embarrassment of leaving it in. So I just leave it in.
Sure, right. Sure. You got to leave it.
So John is the one who has a very unique sounding voice and hates it. And?
I really don't think me and Todd have like similar sounding voices.
No, that's Chris.
Yeah. I'm Chris. This is what my voice sounds like. You know, draw your own conclusions about. Yeah, I think that's the most common confusion is that people don't know which one's me and which one's Todd.
Yeah. I mean, knowing both of them, you don't sound anything the same. But
I mean, I've done that where it's like I listen to a podcast with just two people and they sound nothing alike. And it's not like I can't tell the voices apart, but I can't associate the voice
yeah,
within
of course.
Me. I
of
just
course.
Always forget which is which.
So we're just trying to help
it
you
It takes
out
like
here.
10 episodes mm-hmm. of so listening before you really have like a character in your mind for each voice that you hear. For me anyway, so mm-hmm. we get it.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you're welcome.
But really, like, our pod is so unified and such a united front that I don't really care if, you know, someone mistakes my take for Todd's or vice versa, because, like, I'll support Todd to the death.
Okay, so I just started looking at this first article we're talking about, and I'm already laughing. So, Newsweek is reporting that Michigan Town is buying a nasal ranger to track down stinky marijuana plants.
More
so I did not read this. Okay. I do not know what this means. I assumed that they were talking about a dog. And then I was like, well, maybe it's stupider than that. And they like hired a guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought initially.
Who's called a nasal ranger. But then if you scroll down a little, you see a picture of a man holding something that looks like a hair dryer where he's putting the dryer part up to his nose.
It's literally and it's like a smelloscope from Futurama.
It's a nose gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a medieval doctor, like, beak, just made less cool.
Yeah. And well, and ostensibly,
why would it
it's
work
like,
this way?
I have no idea how this thing works. So, like, if maybe it just picks up all the different parts per million, and, like, I guess different smells are, like, different shaped particles, if, like, the junk science I know is anything resembling, right? So maybe there's some way to filter out so that mostly just, like, weed and kind of close to weed scents. I don't know what spectrum they would be working on, but, like, get... into the thing, and then it amplifies the smell somehow, or like isolates it, or puts it in a neutral environment, or something.
It has some kind of dial on it from like 2, 4, 7, 15, 30, and 60 that you can like set.
Yeah, it looks like
made up numbers.
It looks like a piece of actual scientific equipment, but I guarantee you that this thing is just like some. There's got to be some junk science built into this thing. Because this can't be real. This has to be some stoned person's idea of how to pull one over on the cops.
It's shocking. I have no idea how this could possibly work. But there is a video. This is so insane. Of people using it. But basically they're saying the city of Bessemer stinks. You can smell marijuana everywhere. We've got people who can't sit in their backyards because the smell from their neighbor is so bad, which is weird.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Why would you? And every time I'm walking down the street in Brooklyn and I pass somebody and they're clearly smoking weed, I go like, smells delicious.
Yeah. A lovely smell.
It's a great
smell. I
literally
just bought weed from a dude like an hour before we started recording this podcast. And when he rolled up to the Wendy's parking lot and I got out of my car, he rolled down his window and like cartoon smoke came billowing out at me. You know what the first thing I fucking said was? Smells good in there, bro. You know, it's like, what are you going to say? Yeah. Weed doesn't smell bad. You're an insane person if you think weed smells bad.
It smells delicious, and my mouth salivates when I smell it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, delicious. So I don't know. I guess they're trying to train cops with this fucking insane elephant hair dryer that you put on your nose to make you look like you have a nose gun on. Which I'm going to put probably as the art for this episode
because
it's fucking hysterical.
Is there a way that we can get one of these? That's what I want to know.
Ooh,
it's like, is this just available to police departments or can I just order
it
one?
It costs $3,400.
You know what we should do is the first time we do a live show, we should like secure one somehow and then use it to like smell the crowd for a bit. That'd be perfect.
Oh my God.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I think we could probably buy one of these.
Yeah, I think can.
Oh, yeah. You definitely can.
Or just make one for like $100. I don't really see what would be like. It said there's just like an air filter and a tank of purified air. Like, I don't know. How much work does that take them to actually put
I don't know. Somebody buy one and send us one of these. There's like kids holding it up to plants and shit. This is so bizarre.
This is the weirdest
thing.
Okay,
well, Michigan, where it's legal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's legal now in Michigan. It's legal, yeah.
So apparently everyone's just growing weed and smoking it all the time, and they're gonna try and they're gonna use this to track down the plants where people who have over a dozen plants, because then you get a $500 fine. If the crop is over 24 plants, you get a $500,000 fine.
Whoa.
Which seems way, it's like exponentially
it's
larger.
A big leap. Yeah.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
So I guess they're going to track down people who have too many plants and with their dumb nose gun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that like makes me wonder what's going to happen to like my dad has like 6 plants out behind his house.
I think that's a legal amount
that
though.
Recently became legal. Right. But like the cops are going to show up and bug him all the time with their little smelly gun now. And they're going to be like, hey, we need to know how many plants you have back there. And he's just like, I don't have that many. It's just absolute cop shit. And the cop's looking at it. He's like, oh, this is absolute cop shit. Sorry to bother you, sir. Because my dad's a 6'5" white man. But,
right.
You know, it's not going to go so great for everybody else. This is going to lead to all kinds of like, you know, uncomfortable situations with police, with otherwise completely law-abiding citizens.
Yeah. I wonder if they want people to just like put a little tent over their weed to like contain the smell or something.
Yeah, what do you want people to do? I don't even get it.
What do you want from us, police? Come on.
Desperately trying to continue the drug war with nose guns.
Yeah, but also like trying to like, don't the big the really big growers have like indoor ventilation and stuff anyway? I guess that still pumps outside.
I'm sure, yeah.
But
I'm sure like people who are actually like making a ton of weed are gonna like contain the smell. This is just like, I feel like it's basically to give the cops a reason to harass people because, like, their old neighbors are like, it smells like reefer outside and I'm very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Plus, please stop them from smoking.
Do you think they're also just going to, like, while they have their speed gun up, while they're, like, hot doing highway patrol or whatever, sitting on the side of the road, they're also going to have their smelly gun up so that they can have, like, suspicion to search a vehicle? Because I bet that if they think you're driving high or driving while smoking weed, they still have grounds to search your vehicle. And then that's going to lead to so much more harassment and shit like that as well.
Yeah. Listen, I had every reason to search his car. He had a sleep bumper sticker on the back and a bong eater bumper sticker. It would have been ridiculous to assume he wasn't completely smonked inside that car, inside that van he was driving.
Well, that sucks. I hope they don't use it to hurt anybody's feelings or their lives or put them in jail.
Yeah, that's how I feel about everything that cops have. I hope they don't do anything with it. I hope they just go sit in a dark closet and think about what they did.
Yeah.
Those shoes, I hope cops don't use it to walk around and arrest people.
Speaking of sadly thinking about what you did, Cory Booker owned. Cory Booker has dropped out of the fucking presidential race like he should have a shockingly long time ago. It's very surprising he's just dropped out of the race.
Yeah. Well, and he didn't. I love the language. It says he suspended his campaign, but there's four extra letters on that word that don't need to be there. It should just say ended. And he should have to give back his money, you know? That too. Well, unless it's to billionaires, in which case he should have to give his money to poor people.
Yeah, I think he should just have to give his money to poor people no matter what.
Yeah, I was approaching the point. I just couldn't quite get there fast enough.
Yeah.
I always think about that when I read about like the fundraising totals, just like a bunch of different centrists all raising like $10 million. And it's like, think about how many people's lives could just like be saved, like incredibly improved with that money. And instead it's just like all going into a big like circle jerk pot of nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to go into his next presidential campaign in fucking 2024 when he's either running to oppose whatever insane new Republican they've put up, or he's trying to unseat President Bernie Sanders like a fucking dingbat. Yeah. Like, who's that guy on the Republican side who's running against Trump right now and like nobody gives a shit about him?
Joe Walsh, maybe?
I think there's two or three of them.
Joe Walsh is running? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, Joe Walsh.
A couple months ago, he announced that.
Fucking idiot. Yeah,
people like Neera Tanden were like, this is good because anyone running against Trump is good. And people would post like 10 different screenshots of like, you know, Joe Walsh is incredibly racist, right? You don't have to support everyone who's against Trump.
Yeah. David Duke is running against Donald Trump and I'm voting for
him. I'm for it. David Duke, welcome to the resistance.
Yeah, exactly. But Cory Booker has now dropped out. Marianne Williamson also this week announced that she dropped out, which is like, really? This week you did that?
You were still running? Yeah.
Weren't you like not at the past few debates?
Well, her whole like dropping out message was like, I think this campaign has gone as far as it can to bring my message to as many people as it can, which is kind of like saying I literally never even dreamed of winning. I just knew I could do this and people would talk about me because I'm like a way more likable, insane person than Donald Trump.
That's true. She's so likable.
Yeah, she is.
Did she do like campaign events, like rallies or something? I can't really imagine her doing that.
I think she didn't really have that much money. Like, was like, I mean, she's like, she is rich person, right? She's like Oprah's fucking spiritual advisor or whatever. Yeah. Like, but she wasn't like spending her own money on it. Like, she wasn't like going crazy. Like, who's that fuck Tim?
Well, there's Bloomberg. He spent like $30 million dollars. But
who's not in the debates?
Yeah, owned.
So owned.
I mean, even if he was, he would be below the podium because he's such a manlet, so no one would see him.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah. Hope someone stops and frisks his fucking nuts.
I just hope that Marianne Williamson endorses Bernie, because that would be a big boost to him in a fun news cycle. But you know Booker is going to endorse Warren or Biden, without a doubt.
Yeah, I feel like probably Warren, especially because Julian Castro recently dropped out and endorsed Warren. And like,
oh, that's a shitty move. Julian Castro definitely should have endorsed Bernie.
Yeah, they.
I know.
No, they did like the cool, epic double selfie. Mm-hmm.
The first
time
in history.
The first time in history we take two selfies.
Twist our arms around each other and take selfies of ourselves and photos of each other. Well, that would actually be taking a selfie, which I don't think they know how to do.
That's true.
Right.
But yeah, the race is closing up next month. Is fucking Iowa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
February 3rd or something.
For which the absolute boy is surging in the polls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's
Bernie's
doing
in the
great
lead now, right?
Well, this is like the moment where they can't really suppress it anymore, right? Like, they have to let the real numbers out, because they're going to be proven wrong if they keep bullshitting all the way up into the primary. And I think they've realized that like all of the resistance they've put up to Bernie, he's kind of like turned it into a way for him to keep talking about his message and keep getting publicity, because he keeps getting fucked over, and he's like, well, or his campaign is savvy enough to say, well, we can use this as a news item and gain even more traction, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bernie is honestly running a really, really savvy operation in 2020, because he's always staying on message. I mean, it's easy because Bernie is like thought the same things for like 30 years.
He's like the same way every boomer is like Obama, like but he's just like always been a fucking socialist.
The Soviet Union.
He's like, no,
Cuba.
I don't give a fuck about Snapchat. I don't know anything. I just know that poor people should be running their own companies.
Did you see the little interview snippet floating around on Twitter where the interviewer was asking him if he thought the same thing about cancel culture as Obama? And he was just like, I'm sorry. You'll have to help me out here. Give me a hint.
He's like,
that
give
is.
Me a little hint.
Yeah, give me a hint. It's so charming. Like, why is Obama fucking like wasting his time thinking about cancel culture?
Obama doesn't have anything to do anymore. He's just like a rich imperialist who's not that useful to the ruling class right now, because they don't want to tarnish his image while Donald Trump is still in power. So he just sits around doing Peggy's musings from King of the Hill.
Yeah, and he's like started a production company. Him and Michelle like bankrolled like dumb documentaries or something for Netflix.
That's so stupid.
You know, he like fucking does the, I'm sure he like does the New York Times crossword puzzle on his iPad, like goes and shoots hoops at the gym. He's just like sitting around twiddling his thumbs, basically.
Yeah.
He's being a rich guy.
Yeah.
Like
totally.
He's just doing rich guy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think I don't know. It's still hard. We're in 2020 now. We've been doing this podcast for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've always said, you know, Bernie Sanders won't save us. You know, Bernie Sanders, but we'd rather have a revolution under Sanders' presidency than a Trump presidency.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the idea now that Bernie could win, like, honestly, last year, I was sort of like, it'd be nice. It probably won't happen. And like, the more we get to this point, I feel like I'm getting my hopes up more and more.
Yeah.
I'm like allowing myself to believe that it could happen.
Mm.
Well, there seems to be like credible, or at least consistent, like major liberal news outlets that are reporting on like Bernie's doing a lot better with the Democratic insiders than anybody thought that he was. And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, I think that he probably is, because if you look at the numbers and you don't doctor them first, he's probably got the best numbers out of anybody. But it just seems like crazy to me that like, if even like the Washington Post and the New York Times are letting themselves run articles like Bernie might be the candidate, then Bernie might actually be the fucking candidate.
Right. And if he's the candidate, I think we all agree he'll fucking win.
Oh, he'll demolish Trump in a general. Trump would have to pull levels of fuckery that I don't even know if he's capable of. But he's a slippery snake. He keeps surprising us. So that's going to be an epic internet battle. The ultimate showdown of ultimate destiny.
Yeah. I was like just kind of thinking about that earlier today, that it's like, I mean, I think like other like Elizabeth Warren might be Trump. Like, I think a lot of like mediocre Democrats, every vote blue, no matter who person, like they could maybe like squeak it out. But if Bernie's the nominee, it'll be like a landslide because Trump is so unpopular. Well, but, and I think the media narrative would be like, listen, anyone would have won in a landslide. Pete would have won in a landslide. Right, it's nothing special. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean people want socialism. Never say that. Don't say that.
But I think that Warren, like, I think as a someone who enjoys comedy, Elizabeth Warren debating Trump would be the funniest
because really
she would just eat shit.
Her voice would just get like more and more quavery throughout the debate.
Yeah. He would make her cry.
Yeah. Mr. Trump, I cannot believe you would stoop so low to say such things about my grandchildren.
Well, because fucking Trump would just dunk on her like aimlessly for half of the debate. And then the other half of the debate would just be her like trying to call attention to like conduct and protocol and like respectability. They would never get to talk about anything. Bernie is the only candidate that is like so on message and like actually believes in what he's saying that no matter what insane shit comes out of Trump's mouth, he's just gonna like own him. He's gonna be right back on message. He's gonna be saying things people want to vote for, and he's gonna make Trump look like an absolute dipshit. Bernie caters to such a wider audience than like the liberal core that will vote for fucking Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden. Like, Bernie gets independents. Bernie gets potential Trump voters. Bernie gets all kinds of like weird leftists who won't show up unless he's the candidate.
Yep. So I mean, I think but it's really all about the primary right now. And I think it's like, if he doesn't win the primary, obviously everything continues the way it is, and we will just have to continue building and keeping this energy that we've had since the American energy since 2016. Because obviously Chile and Bolivia and everywhere else is doing their thing, and we can only just support them. But if he does win, it's getting to the point where we really need to have a plan. And I don't think the DSA, the PSL, Red Guards, whoever you're hanging out with,
Red
Guards, I don't feel like there's enough of a plan. Like, if Bernie Sanders wins the presidency, we need to be like ready to storm the gates of the healthcare companies, of like the banks, and just be like, Bernie Sanders, blow this up.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Metaphorically,
people
I'm saying.
Keep thinking like we need to do really big demonstrations if Trump gets reelected. Right? That's when all the strikes will break out. That's when all of like the big public movements and stuff should happen. But like, we should really be doing that when Bernie Sanders gets elected, if he gets elected, because like his administration will be influenced by it. If there was an Occupy happening under a Bernie Sanders presidency, if you got a bunch of fucking farmers to do their version of Occupy under a Bernie Sanders presidency and confederated a bunch of like different trade unions, like there would really be a lot of grease on the wheels to make a meaningful proletarian movement in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if we had a president that was supporting and organizing a general strike?
Yeah, that would rule.
Oh, like, man, like I can't even think about it because it makes me sad to think that it will never happen. Oh. But like, I don't know. Like, that would be
anything's possible.
Do you think
Insane thing that would have ever happened in American history?
Do you think Bernie would really go that far, though? Like, do you think he's really capable of like getting an office and helping instantiate a general strike? Because that would rule, and I want to believe it, but I'm a little skeptical.
I think a guy who's running, who's literally called himself a socialist since before we were born, who calls himself the organizer in chief.
Yeah.
Like, the general strike, I don't think to him sounds too far left.
Mm-hmm. No, like, probably
that
not.
Because that's only, you know, then you're just talking about gains towards more fair capitalism, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's still in a way reformist. It's just huge for America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I think,
and it would send us in a really good direction. Like he would. That's the other thing is we don't have to make it like a huge upheaval of life under like a Sanders presidency. Like if we did that shit against Trump and we wanted it to work, we would have to like basically get guerrilla with it. But under a Bernie Sanders presidency, you could do something like the Yellow Vests meeting up and doing their strikes on Saturdays and stuff. And he would like take that shit into consideration. He would probably come out there and be like, okay, I'm going to go out and talk to the people on strike in New York this weekend. And I'm going to talk to the people on strike in Houston next weekend, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I just had the most beautiful image of like Bernie walking past a group of like sobbing lobbyists who were like, please let me talk to you, sir. Just a little crumb of attention. And he's like, no, fuck you guys. And then walks over to like the huge crowd of striking workers and talks to them instead.
I mean, that's kind of the level of energy I guess I would expect from him. So I guess that's not too far out of the question.
But I think that's why he's being fought tooth and nail. And he's going to be like up against a hostile party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he somehow wins the election, like even if like the delegates aren't supporting him, like he's going to be up against a party who's like, fuck this guy. You're like ruining all of our plans and our ways of life. And they're going to try and get him to not do anything. But it's up to us, the left of America, the actual workers and poor people of America, like Bernie Sanders says, like this is his line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To like actually get out there and fucking stand up to those people with him and for him.
I wonder how possible it would be for like Bernie to like get elected and then start like a third party or something. Like what if I know he'll be incredibly ancient, but like what if he ran for re-election as like the Workers' Party candidate or something?
I mean, that would
like
rule.
Manage to. Yeah, I don't really know. I feel like
fucking destroy the Democratic Party would be good.
Yeah,
my thought is
incredible.
Like, remember when Barack Obama got elected the first time and everybody was like, oh, his momentum is going to help the Democrats sweep the midterms. And then that never really materialized in the way that they wanted it to. But a Bernie Sanders presidency would embolden a bunch of Democratic socialists to probably run inside the Democratic Party at first, like they've kind of been doing now. But then if there were enough of them in Congress after a midterm or two midterms, it's not inconceivable that they could be like, look, we are kind of the dominant wing of the party politically now, and we think we should be called something else. And if you don't like that, you can be this tiny little Democratic Party, classical liberal party, whatever the fuck you want to call yourselves.
Yep, yep. And like, that's already happening because AOC this week was like, I'm not paying the Democratic Party dues.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to sit here and be told that they're going to work against what I'm trying to do and then pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that.
Yeah.
So she like is revolting against the DCCC. She launched a new PAC. And they're basically trying to primary every seat and get people move the Democratic Party left. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right, John. At a certain point, they could just like change the name and be like, we're not the fucking Democratic Party anymore if you guys want to do that.
Right. Because she also made a comment recently that was like, in most other countries, like me and Joe Biden would not be in the same party.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting like conversation to open up. Yeah. Yeah. It's completely true. And it's like opens up people's minds to the concept of like the Democratic Party is like becoming so like strained at the seams that it's like basically two different parties fighting each other for control.
Yeah. The AOC tweeted, she said, I give quite a bit to fellow Democrats. We've raised over 300,000 for others more than my dues, which is her dues are $250,000, by the way,
a quarter of $1 million.
Yeah, with over 50% going to swing seats. The DCCC made clear that they will blacklist any organization that helps progressive candidates. I can choose not to fund that kind of exclusion. So the DCCC is...
It's basically like the DNC for Congress. Like the DNC coordinates like the presidential elections, and then the DCCC is like trying to get as many Democrats as possible elected to the House and
it's,
the Senate.
It's something that a mainstream media... would call like a Democratic Party apparatus or organ.
Yeah, I think basically.
But like they're not technically actually the party.
Well, like the Democratic Party is weird because it's like not really like you can just like join, and it doesn't mean that. I don't know. It's like, it's very weird.
It stands for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, it's part of the party, kind of, but yeah. It's like a separate organization, mm-hmm. basically.
It's a campaign organization right. that runs people for yeah. the House.
So, but they're like, you know, controlling who gets. There was that whole thing that The Intercept had like an undercover guy who was basically trying to primary.
Oh,
he was trying
yeah.
to do what AOC did a little before AOC did it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And like someone from the DCCC was like, yeah, we were asking you to drop out. We're mm-hmm. not supporting you. We don't. They basically said, we think you're too far left and mm-hmm.
we like this other guy more, so we're going to support him.
We've decided that you're not going to win.
That
yeah. So it's
sucks.
Like, yeah, it's literally completely an anti-democratic apparatus.
Yeah. And then I think the thing AOC is referring to is that they also were like basically threatening to blacklist like any kind of, I think, media organizations or campaign organizations or whatever that worked for like insurgent candidates like her. Like if someone is trying to like from the left primary a like sitting Democrat, mm-hmm. then the DCCC would like basically threaten to like never hire them again to try to like scare them away from doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so it's funny because like the media class basically tried to spin this as like she was being some sort of huge brat and mm-hmm. like was trying to tear apart the Democratic Party, and she was just like, no, fuck you. Like I saw the headline I first saw was that like she doubled down on this.
Yeah.
It was like she doubles down on her decision not to pay her dues. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's trying really to set insane. It up for her to be like, she's not even a real Democrat.
Yeah.
Which every fucking person has pointed out. Good.
Yeah,
everyone right. likes that.
Right, yeah.
Nobody like, thinks that Democrats are cool or good.
Nobody outside of like a fucking newsroom thinks yeah. that. And they all seem to think that it's like bad. It's like everyone loves Democrats, so they'll think it's bad when someone's not that. And it's
yeah.
like, no, they clearly don't. Why have the Democrats been getting owned so hard? Why did Hillary Clinton lose? Why are yeah. like tons of state houses and governors not Democrats anymore?
The Democrats have been consistently digging themselves in a hole for like the last 30 years, and it just keeps getting deeper and deeper, and they get more and more pathetic. They caught like one yeah. little break with Obama, and then like we immediately got Trump afterwards.
Yeah, that's yeah. basically it. It's like they've been moving further and further right. I mean, even Obama is really just like, you know, a continuation of Bill Clinton's like third way idea, where it's like, what if we're actually
1,000% centrist? Yeah.
Like, so it's like, at best, they've managed to like succeed by like straddling the center, and it's like only succeeding in terms of like themselves having power and the ruling class having power. Like they're not really serving any of the stated interests of the Democratic Party as a party that's like supposed to help working people and people of color and women
or democracy
yeah,
or
democracy yeah. anything
or anything.
I guess Roe versus Wade is still the law, but honestly, even that, it's like the DCCC like doesn't exclude Democrats who are pro-choice. It's like if you're a like conservative Democrat who's pro-choice, they're like, well, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. not a huge issue.
They no. probably like that because then they're like, now we can have someone who reaches across the aisle to these Republicans.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what
totally.
That's insane. What you know the fucking Rust Belt cares about, not being able to get abortions.
Yeah, yeah. right. At least it turns the seat blue. Shut the fuck up, you know? Like, Jesus Christ.
Suck my ass. Yeah, so speaking of Trump, Trump has had some pretty weird tweets this week.
yeah.
Speaking of Trump and Bernie, let's start with the Bernie one.
Okay.
Bernie tweeted... let me actually pull it up. Wow. Okay, so Trump tweeted this week, wow, crazy Bernie Sanders is surging in the polls, looking very good against his opponents in the do-nothing party. Which is true.
Yeah.
The do-nothing party. That's
so what does this all mean? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Thanks, thanks game show host, president.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about like what that means. It's kind of like ominous. It's like a weird clown puppet of a tweet or something. It's like
yeah.
something that should be. I know that Trump like wants you to think it's cute and be riled up by it, but I'm kind of like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah. And then this is sort of, you know, Donald Trump calls Bernie Sanders crazy because that rules. He can't think of any other weakness against Bernie Sanders. It's just like someone who's kind of wild, someone who seems like a crazy, out of control guy.
I also love that he said that he was looking good against his opponents, like sharp.
Yeah, he's fucking looking very good.
I've been on Twitter, and Bernie has been very smooth recently. I've seen a lot of smooth Bernies.
Wow, honestly, that's pretty. This is kind of silly, but it's like the top tweet is from a MAGA guy. Underneath the first reply under this Donald Trump tweet is from a MAGA guy who put a poll that said, "Who would you vote for in 2020?" And it's Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, and it's Bernie Sanders wins by 70%.
Wow,
and it's like, I know it's just Twitter, but that's still pretty wild.
I mean, that's what'll happen. 70% victory.
It's a poll hosted by a right wing source too. Like if somebody who supported Bernie had put that question up there and then drawn attention to it, it would have been much higher. So whatever bias there is, we're just assuming that like maybe like further left people are usually more tech savvy. There's still that's encouraging.
Yeah, but also listeners, please DM me or at me on Twitter at Kinematography and tell me not to get my hopes up because it'll just make me cry. Because I hate getting my hopes up for fucking bourgeois politics.
Yeah. You're saying you don't like having high hopes for a living?
That's right. I hate having high hopes, especially for a living.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that tweet, Bernie Sanders retweeted it. I assume his, not really him, but his account retweeted it and said, "It means you're going to lose."
Hell yeah.
Which is, if you are not bringing that kind of energy into the fucking bourgeois political race against capitalists, fucking drop out.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's like, no Mike Gravel teens move, but it's a pretty good
move. It's kind of close. Yeah, it's kind of
close.
I think that's a pretty good response. Like, what else can you say?
It's a good bit.
Donald, also the White House tweeted.
this is so weird.
This is absurd.
It's so weird. Yesterday, we're recording this on Monday, so on Sunday, the White House official account, which I can't believe, I had to check multiple times to make sure this was real. They tweeted, first snow of the year, and a picture of the White House full of snow. Like it's snowing in front of the White House.
Yeah.
It was 70 degrees yesterday in Washington, D.C. It was not snowing. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Do you think it was just like a stock photo of the White House with snow in front of it that had been scheduled for like the Farmer's Almanac date that it said it would finally snow?
Well, that's all I can really think of.
People were posting underneath that tweet that that picture had been posted on 4chan earlier.
What?
Oh,
God.
The White House full of snow with some sort of like weird message about, I don't know. I didn't read it.
Do people think it's like a Q message?
Yeah. People think it's a Q message.
Yeah, hold on. My tinfoil hat's under a bunch of shit. I got to dig it out.
The only thing I could think of that would make much sense is like they just have a bunch of tweets scheduled and like maybe someone like clicked the wrong button and they meant to tweet like something else about January and accident, like they had one ready to go that was like, it snows in January sometimes, it hasn't snowed yet, so maybe we'll post this, and then left it up. I guess I don't understand why it would be left up.
It doesn't seem like an accident, it just seems weird.
Is it still up?
Yeah, it's up. It's right
wild.
Here. I'm looking at it.
Does whoever is the president get to run that account when they are in office? Or like, I assume so, right?
No, I don't think the president runs the account. But
no,
his
not
staffers
directly.
Do.
Like the staff, yeah.
It's weird that they're just lying about stuff
for no reason.
Like, what does
about
it even
the most
do?
Insane
what's the point?
Things? Like, I keep thinking, like, they're not going to figure out a more insane thing to do. And then they do. And this could just be a glitch or something, but, like, I have my suspicions. Anytime 4chan and Donald Trump's White House are in the same breath, I'm worried.
Yeah, it was posted on poll on January 9th, and it said, President Donald Trump at POTUS and then links to whitehouse.gov. I guess it was just like the President Trump general thread, like the big mega threads they have on 4chan.
Okay.
And then like links to warroom.org, snowflakevictory.com. And so I guess they probably just Googled like Snow White House or something.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
And then just like did that. And then the White House Twitter account like was like also did that. Why did they say that? They know it's not.
It didn't snow.
It's really confusing. Really.
It's insane when like you make a tweet so absurd that I can like barely even figure out how to laugh at it or make fun of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move on.
Yeah.
Also, Trump posted a very insane tweet that basically said, you know, we stand with the people of Iran.
He's stealing what Iran said about the people of the United States. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can do that, too. But, of course, he doesn't mean
yeah.
it.
Let me toss it in Google Translate
real quick. But he keeps doing it. Like, he did it today, too.
Oh, he's posting in whatever language that is more.
Yeah. He basically keeps tweeting to Iran, addressing Iran's leaders, don't kill your protesters. Thousands have been killed or imprisoned so far, and the world is watching. More importantly, the United States is watching. Reconnect the internet and let reporters move freely. Stop killing the great people of Iran.
Thousands of who have been killed? Do you think they've already killed thousands of protesters in like 2 days?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I do not. I somehow don't think that's true. I guess this just works to like help manufacture a reason for going to war. Like if he says like don't kill people or don't do this or something, or we support the Iranian people. You know what I mean? It's the whole like greeted as liberators thing from the Iraq war.
Yeah, but it's insane because we're not at war with Iran and we have no reason to go to a war with Iran. And we're just like,
oh, I know.
It's
very stupid.
No one thinks. I don't understand.
Well,
but also
they're
Nancy,
our enemies, Brent. They're so mean to us.
But even Nancy Pelosi is like lying about Iran.
Oh yeah.
She was trending earlier today being like all of the protesters against the Iranian government are students. And people were like, that's not true. What are you talking about? Why are you lying?
Yeah.
Well, I meant they were students of life. You know, I consider myself a lifelong learner, so that's what they are too in Iran. They're all continually learning. Oh God. You know what I'm looking forward to? Is the day when Nancy Pelosi trends for the last time, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm looking forward to that as well.
It'll be a good day. Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of fun on the timeline.
Yeah, the old final trend.
Yeah. Maybe because her account got deleted. Maybe because she slipped on a banana peel and hurt her butt. You know, I don't know what's going to be the last time someone trends.
She got her account suspended for clapping too hard at Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, for bullying because she clapped in someone's face.
Yeah, she gets her account suspended for accidentally sending nudes.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Those were meant for Mr. Pelosi.
Yuck. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I think he's just like Donald Trump has been having a wild week. And it's just going to continue getting weirder until he's gone.
God, can you imagine? Like,
soon, by the end of the year.
Like, the weeks between, like, you know, God willing, if Trump loses the election in 2020 and Bernie is the, like, the, you know, presidential elect, between, like, November and January 20th, when Trump is, like, technically still president but is about to leave office, he's going to make the most unhinged, insane posts you've ever seen.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's going to be on Alex Jones for 4 hours a day talking about how the election was fake, how the military won't listen to him and, like, investigate. The FBI doesn't care. It's going to be off the wall.
Yes, it will be really insane. What I can only hope is that Donald Trump at a debate dies, like of a brain aneurysm or something, just because he's like ancient and weird and old and like rotting from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Bernie Sanders is up against fucking Mike Pence.
Yeah, that's what would happen, right? Like,
and just wins in a historic landslide.
I assume that my assumption is that's what happens is just like,
Pence becomes the president. Yeah.
Oh, you know, I was like looking this up at some point. Like, I think that is what happens if they've already been nominated. But like, I think if Bernie died, I don't know. At some point, like,
okay,
it's possible for like the Democratic Party to just like pick anyone. Like, if the nominee dies at a certain point or something, it was really really insane.
Like, instead of automatically going with whoever they had already nominated. Or in it's the case so of a sitting president, though, that's the weird bit, right? Because then Pence mm-hmm. would be the president and then the presumptive nominee. But do you think the Republicans would know that he was like so unelectable that they would have to choose somebody else? Or do you think that they would just like let Bernie wail on him like Mike Tyson beating up Michael Cera?
I think if Trump dies, they're just going to like...
take the
just,
L.
They're just going to take the L, yeah.
Yeah, because I think they already are like... some states were going to like not even have Republican primaries because they didn't want there to be like any chance of Trump like having to run against someone. So yeah. It's like it'd be funny if they like dug their own grave like that. Like they just canceled their primary basically and is like, obviously it's Trump. And then it's like actually Pence. And it's like, well... I guess it's Pence because we canceled the primary. Nothing we can do about it now.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
That would be pretty good.
That would rule.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're talking about Bernie Sanders possibly winning the nomination and we have like no idea who the vice president would be. And Bernie Sanders is very old.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say what the best choice is. Like, I don't like...
I go back and forth, but ultimately I think he should get somebody even further to the left of him.
I well, think, obviously,
right. Yeah, that would that's be what good. I would love.
Well, and not just from like a like what I like point of view. I think that would make him more electable than like being like mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren or like even you know Julian Castro or something.
People are talking about
that's a good point. Yeah, because it's like that's what any like mainstream quote unquote like political operative would tell you.
Yeah,
like you know, soften Bernie up by having like a woman on the ticket or a person of color. Like,
well, you could but still could have a woman or a person of color. You could just pick a real sure. like lefty one,
like Nina Turner.
Yeah, Nina Turner, like Zephyr Teachout, something yeah. like that.
That would be that would rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop having fantasies about things. And let's talk about things that aren't fantasies, but seem that they should be. Vermin Supreme.
Yeah. Hell
a
yeah.
man who defies any real reason or...
seems like he defies everything. You know, you got a thing, he'll defy it. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, hang on. Do you feel that, Bryn? Are you... I'm awake, right? Like, I've been doing this podcast enough, I'm probably going to have dreams about podcasting soon.
I do. I have dreams about podcasting all the time. Yeah. It's really fucked up.
I'm having one right now.
Super weird.
Vermin Supreme won a primary.
Yeah.
Vermin
the Libertarian
won
primary.
The Libertarian primary.
In New Hampshire.
Which has never happened before, even though he's been running for office for many years.
Yeah.
Was he always running in the Libertarian Party in the past?
I think
I
so.
Don't know.
Maybe he bounced around between parties or something. I don't know the storied history of Vermin Supreme. And yeah. apparently there is one. People have been informing me every time I make fun of him. But I love this because not only did Vermin Supreme win in this primary, but the lowest placed candidate who ran and got enough votes that their name wasn't included in the scatter category was Lincoln Chafee.
That's so fucking amazing. Like that he went from being on the Democratic primary debate stage. I mean, granted, with no support, yeah. nobody cared about him. But like him and Bernie and Hillary were all on the same stage running for president. And now this year, like 15 people ran for president. A bunch of people no one's heard of made the debates. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
He tried to run Libertarian instead and he got fucking owned. It's
by
so
Vermin
funny.
Supreme. And then like six other nobodies.
God, that
rules so much.
It's like even at being a nobody, he can't win.
Hell yeah. Well, props to Vermin Supreme. He retweeted me today when I posted about his victory, and he retweeted me a couple of years ago, too. So even though I guess technically you're a libertarian, Vermin, you're cool in my book, man.
The only good libertarian.
Yeah, the only
yeah honestly,
good
it's a it's a great way to do it, like having your name be Vermin and then be a libertarian to make people associate those two words. It's a pretty good move.
That's a good bit.
Solid.
Yeah. So, John, do you know anything about Vermin Supreme's actual political views?
Not really, because it seems like every time he's interviewed about them, he goes back to talking about like giving everyone a pony and like whatever other insane Gallagher-esque joke platforms he's cooked up. So... I have no idea, like, if he actually was in a public office or something. Just because he's such a nice guy, I want to believe that he's, like, a pink, like, democratic socialist, kind of social democrat guy.
Okay.
But I doubt it. He probably, like, is a South Park dude who just thinks this is really, really funny. And honestly, it is really, really funny because you're disrupting the Libertarian Party. And not in a way that's going to be like, oh, Silicon Valley, they're going to get ahead now. This is just going to make them look even stupider and more insane. And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love it if Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump and Vermin Supreme are all on the same stage.
Oh yeah, somehow. Can we make that happen?
That would be amazing.
Because I feel like he would bolster Bernie a lot more than he would bolster Trump.
Yeah, I feel like he would see a kindred spirit in Bernie because Bernie is just a little bit crazy, as Trump has pointed out.
True.
He has a bit of that energy.
Crazy Bernie. And, we love Crazy Bernie, though. And I think he should hang out with the guy with a boot on his head.
Yes, I also agree with that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of political moments, a lot less fun, a lot less fun of political moments. There are some going down in Bolivia and Chile right now. Apparently, Bolivia's government has been cracking down on journalists and doctors, and Chile is talking about passing a resolution or some kind of legislation that will limit people's right to public assembly. So that's bad.
Right, which is great. Both bad.
Very
you know,
bad.
But I mean, I think it's just the things that are happening in Bolivia and Chile and, again, so many other places around the world right now, we really haven't even touched on, like, what's happening in Haiti and Iran.
It's hard to keep up because
probably
there's so
forgetting.
Many of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But these are just, obviously, reactionary people trying to stop them. It's just another play in the battle, right? Like, I don't think that this means, like, it's over, but this is just them trying to... This is Chile and Bolivia trying to keep, a fascist or reactionary hold on their countries because everyone is swinging wildly around because the people are rising up all over the world right now.
Yeah,
well, it's basically what you do if you take power as a reactionary government is you start cracking down on, mass organizations of people, mass assembly, the press. You just have to seize your, like, control because you're not actually popular with the majority of your population.
Yeah. Well, and Bolivia has an election coming up on May 3rd. So, like,
oh, wow.
Only
really?
A few months. Yeah, apparently shit moves really fast in Bolivia. So, and the as we said on a recent episode, I don't remember if it was a bonus or not, Evo Morales' party, the MAS party, is still doing the best in the polls by a pretty wide margin. So the coup government only has a few months to, like, suppress public sentiment as much as they can and try and swing an election after they called bullshit on the apparently totally legitimate election that reelected Evo Morales.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, sorry to all of those protesters. If you are from Chile or Bolivia, come on the show and help us understand what the stakes are and what Americans can do to help you out. We're just trying to look for people who can talk to us about those things. We're always looking to help out international movements towards the left. But we're just trying to keep you updated on what's going on. That fight in both of those countries are still going on. Speaking of fighting in foreign countries, military.com published an article breaking news that Iran may have a fleet of communist killer dolphins.
Hell yeah. Are they psychic as well? Do they live in a garage by any chance?
Possibly.
Remind you of anyone
possibly.
We know?
I don't know. I've heard of those things, but I've never actually met one.
Todd's part dolphin, and he lives above a garage. So. it's probably him.
Yeah, but I think they're more like of a sexual dolphin energy.
Are you Todd?
No. Anyway, I don't know what this means. So I'm gonna read it real quick. It's really short, so I'm gonna tell you what this means. From, again, military.com.
Yeah, I don't really know
which
what that
I think is...
like just a news story, a news site by troops for troops or something?
Yeah, if you go to it, it's just military-themed news, literally. And this is in the off-duty section. So this is like the wild and wacky military news you might not have heard of. And it is insane. I love it.
That's so funny.
Military.com is a... American military veteran news source.
It's Ranger Rick for guys with combat-induced PTSD.
They say they provide headline news and technology updates, covering the rest of the military experience from great content like our user-generated videos in our popular Shock and Awe feature to our military equipment guide. We present what makes the military unique and fun.
You're not supposed to shock and awe your own civilians, the people in your own military. That's not funny. Shock and awe is a brutal practice.
Yeah, I feel like this is insane. It is a division of Monster.
Like monster.com,
energy drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, energy drink would make more sense.
It's a division of Fox Motorsports.
It is owned by Randstad North America.
If there's like Red Bull has like Red Bull Studios where people like make music and art and stuff, if like Monster had military.com and like Monster branded Shock and Awe campaigns.
Monster branded fucking drone bomb R&D institutions. Yeah. All right, but let's read this because it's really funny. Let's get into it.
Right. I just want to be clear that this is a news site owned by a company that is a human resource consulting firm from the Netherlands.
Oh, God.
Okay.
basically, this is war propaganda.
Yeah.
It's
Dutch war propaganda, the worst kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Iran has some super surprising weapons at its disposal. In 2002, U.S. military exercise that pitted Iran against an invasion from American task force, the general in command of the opposition was retired Lieutenant General Paul Van Ripper. Oh my God. It's like Dr. Strangelove. He used motorcycles, small fast attack boats, and land-based missile batteries, and even suicide attacks against the Americans.
And I had to look this up because I was wondering what all that was about. Apparently, this is like staged war games in Iran.
Yes.
Or in like an area where they were like pretending to be in Iran, and they like play fought with actual military personnel.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that except to, you know, saber rattle and scare people.
Yeah.
But apparently forgot to use Iran's killer dolphin units. In 2000, the Islamic Republic acquired a number of dolphins from Russia, one specially trained to attack enemy ships. The dolphins had originally been trained by the Soviet Union.
Hell yeah.
When funding for the project ran out, the dolphins were acquired by their former trainer who moved them to a dolphinarium. But public interest waned and their caretaker was forced to sell them when he ran out of food. When he ran out of food? Why did he run out of food?
Well, because the Soviet Union fell, right? And then he got the dolphins and he's like, now there's no socialism and I own a bunch of dolphins. This is way too much for me. I'm in over my head.
I'm going to sell my dolphins.
There's no dolphin food. Does that mean there should be like a contingent that's like horse girls for socialism? People for socialism where it's like, listen, you're not going to have to like work your tail off trying to budget for your horse. Like, we'll have communal horse farms and they can go hang out there and be stabled and like be fed and it'll be fine.
Like you love horses so goddamn much and you know not everybody else does. There's probably about the right percentage of people who actually love horses enough to take care of them to actually take care of as many horses as need to be around.
I think that's true. There's not like people beating down the doors of like the horse stable and being like, I want to take care of a horse too. Please let me do it.
Do you want a horse? I certainly don't want a horse. If somebody got me a horse and they were like, I got you this horse for Christmas, I would be like, what the fuck, dude?
Not cool.
Yeah,
what does
this even mean? What does it mean? I have a horse. Where is it? It can't fit in my apartment.
Dude, I live on the third floor of a building. You know that, right? Like,
yeah. He's like, no, dude, horses are great at walking. That's like their whole thing. And you're like, no, not upstairs. And he's like, oh. Freight elevator, maybe?
Anyway, if I were a sadist, then I could have remained in Sevastopol. Boris Zarid, their trainer, told the Russian newspaper Pravda, but I cannot bear to see my animals starve. We're out of medicine, which costs thousands of dollars, and I have no more fish or food supplements. In 1991, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the Dolphin unit was sent to the Crimean Peninsula from a base in the Russian Pacific area. There, the dolphins were trained to kill enemy frogmen using harpoons mounted on their backs.
Really?
They kept training
these dolphins. They were like, we got some communist killer dolphins. We should keep training them to attack people. They seem like a legitimate and useful wartime asset.
That's right.
Let's do it.
There, yes. They would also swim at enemy ships in suicide attacks while carrying explosive sea mines, as they were able to distinguish between Russian and American submarines by the sounds their propulsion systems make underwater.
Wow.
The highly trained killer dolphins were moved from the Black Sea to the Persian Gulf after Iran purchased them for unknown reasons. Mm-hmm. According to the Russian paper Zurid's work, which supposedly continued in Iran after the 2000 sale, was solely of a military nature. Depending on the types of dolphins used by Zurid, the original animals could still be alive, as dolphins have a lifespan of 50 years or more. He could also have trained more killer dolphins for use against Western shipping. While the United States protested the sales of arms, or in this case, killer dolphins, to Iran, Zurid cared only about his dolphins. "I'm prepared to go to Allah, or even to the devil, as long as my animals will be okay." So that this guy so seems awesome.
He's just like, listen, I don't care who I'm selling them to or what they're going to do with them. I just want them to be okay, and I will face God.
Yeah, even if they use them to send them on suicide missions to blow up boats, at least they're dying the way they were trained, dying the way they lived. And I also love in this article how it says that Iran bought them for reasons unknown. Like, what other reason would you buy, like, highly trained killer dolphins? Like, because that rules. And it's like, well, look, if we're not going to get a nuke, if we're going to abide by these treaties and stuff, we should at least have super badass killer dolphins. And frankly, I don't think anyone in their right mind could blame them.
Yeah, it's such a weird attempt to, like, I don't know, like, make people nervous and be like, who knows what they want to use them for? And it's like, probably to defend themselves from invasions. This article opens talking about a fucking, like, simulated invasion of Iran in U.S. military games. Yeah. Why would they want military technology, or, you know, military dolphin technology?
I just can't wait for, like, families to be on vacation at the beach, and, like, kids will be swimming, and, like, maybe they see a dolphin, like, leap up out of the water, and someone's dad's gonna run out to get their kid to be like, that's an Iranian killer dolphin!
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
What's crazy about the article is that it doesn't mention that the U.S. has been training killer dolphins and military dolphins for many years now.
Really? It's really strange. I never knew that this happened until reading this article.
The U.S. has trained around 75 dolphins, and there's a picture of one with a little camera on its fin. Hmm. It's very adorable, and I don't want them to be fighting for America, but it is cute.
Well, anything a dolphin does is cute. That's like the police dog, you know? It's like everybody sees a dog, and they're like, hey, that's a dog. What you don't remember is that on the other end of that leash, there's a cop.
And yeah, that, fuck the cop.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking steal the dog from the cop. Retrain him to... Yeah, retrain him to sniff out weed, but not to bust people, just so you know where the cool parties are.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's weed here.
Good boy, good job. Let's go in and party.
Let's go say hello, see if they need anybody to help smoke that weed. And the dog's like, yes, we are going to get high.
We're in. Your dog has hacker voice. He just puts on shades.
Yeah, I trained the dog to talk.
Listen, it's like Meowth from Pokemon. He just decided to learn.
Yeah, I just felt like learning. Okay. Well, with that, I think that they are trying to... I guess this article is basically some sort of weird, shitty version of, like, trying to manufacture consent with Iran, which is going on. Please don't believe anything about Iran. I got in trouble for suggesting that Iran didn't accidentally shoot down that Ukrainian plane. Mm-hmm. Everyone got mad at me for suggesting that it was maybe not, even though certain people in Iran admitted it, the Iranian government admitted that it was an accidental firing. There's also, you know, there's literal evidence that America has hacked into their weapons computers and used them before.
Sure, it was an accident, but like, what kind of accident? Sometimes you look at an accident long enough, it turns out it was actually sabotage or espionage the whole time.
So
it's not out of the question that some fucking CIA agent did that, and they're just hoping to escalate tensions with Iran so that we can invade. And if that's what happens...
Of course they are. We know they are. So, you know, whether it's killer dolphins or a Ukrainian plane being shot down, please don't believe it exactly. And even if you do believe it, just know that we shouldn't go to war with Iran no matter what they're doing.
Definitely
we started
not.
It. We have always started. We shouldn't go to war with anybody. War is bad.
We've been starting it for like 250 years.
Yeah. So stop it. Fucking stop it. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to BP Lettuce. This has been yet another episode. We forgot to take the new mixer from Todd's studio, so no sound effects this week unless decides to add them in afterwards.
I'll throw some in afterwards. I'll give him a treat. Everybody liked the sound effects so much. So
everyone loves the sound effects, so thank you for listening. They will be back soon, and we will also be back soon. Please, if you'd like us to be back sooner, please go to our Patreon at patreon.com/bbblettuce. Thank you so much for listening. Please go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us there. It really helps people find the show. Please follow us. Oh, we got suspended. We didn't even talk about it, but we got...
Oh, yeah.
Todd got suspended.
Yeah, there's a new Twitter account for the show. Don't tell the Twitter terms of service, but it's Beep Beep Leaf now with two E's.
Yes.
The way the kids have been spelling it these days.
Mm-hmm. Please go and refollow us if you're already following us. And if you weren't, what are you doing? What, are you new or something? Are you silly? But please go follow us there at Beep Beep Leaf with two E's on Twitter. And follow us all individually. Facebook, Villain, Kinematography, Good Opinion, Never with no E. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Hang out with us in the Discord, and we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Keep on, y'all.
See you there.